The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Scholes, and in our business lead story this evening, I'm joined by Almundro Janssen, an economist from Simonis and Storm. Welcome, Almundro.
Thank you so much for having me.
Our Interim Minister of Industries, Mines and Energy, Frans Kapofi, has tabled the Petroleum Amendment Bill of 2025 in Parliament. So, Almundro, from an economic perspective, how significant is this amendment bill for Namibia's emerging oil and gas sector?
Yeah, so I think the amendment to the bill is a very economical significance in the country, especially when we're approaching such a pivotal crossroad when it comes to having such a big natural resource of in abundance. And I think everyone's kind of holding their breath for what's going to happen next. And I think it's a step in the right direction, especially as the country prepares, especially for the final investment decisions on the horizon, especially for the companies such as Total and Galp and all of them. So from economical point of view, it's really going to accelerate decision making when it comes to licensing productions and approvals, especially for all these oil majors. So it will really unlock a lot of capital investment. We're speaking of billions that could possibly be invested into the Namibian economy and oil. So if it's well managed and really looked after when this decision is made to move to the office of the president, it can really create long-term job creation, not necessarily a lot in the oil and gas sector, but the knockoff and the multiplier effect in the economy could really also uplift that, and also just long-term growth when it comes to GDP. So if we're really looking at it like from a standpoint of what it actually brings to the table, it really brings transparency and accountability in a sense that, okay, now we can check what's happening and all that, and also just institutional checks and balances overall for these companies coming in. It's more of a office now that you need to, the president, you need to report to the president what exactly is playing out there. So it's going to be interesting times ahead of how exactly they're going to navigate this. But at the end of the day, it's also just how they execute it, because that's the important part.
Yes. So looking at governance and institutional reform, the bill establishes an upstream petroleum unit under the office of the president to regulate exploration and production. What are the potential economic implications of centralizing oversight in this way?
So the creation of the upstream petroleum unit is it's a good thing. I think, once again, it's a step in the right direction. It's more or less centralizing and enhancing to ensure that, okay, the decision-making is going to be not delayed. And also, there's not necessarily going to be slow investment approval. So if something needs to be done when it comes to licensing, environmental compliance, or even the terms of how we're going to use the fiscal spin-offs of it, the royalties and all of that, just how exactly is that going to go about? So from an investment standpoint, it's in a sense of being centralized. So I think it is needed at this moment in time, especially with the international oil majors that are being at the forefront of everything, and they're the ones that are coming in. So during this pre-final investment decision negotiation, I think it's the right way to go, in a sense of, especially, it gives more clear accountability and who exactly is reporting on this and can give us a more transparent look out into this. So definitely a good decision. But on the other hand, you could have a party or a camp that could say, listen, why is it being concentrated in one decision making body or power and office having all this authority? But at the end of the day, the president's office is the highest office in the sense of in the government, more or less.
You were talking about transparency and accountability. The bill also introduced mandatory reporting of petroleum royalty remissions and refunds to Parliament. How does this strengthen the fiscal transparency and public accountability in resource governance?
Yeah, so I think as Namibia, in the sense that we're trying to be very big on accountability and transparency to say, like, listen, this is actually where the funds are being spent in a sense. And I think a lot of people, just not the general public, but also the parliament, when it comes to different ministries, they really want to know exactly where money is being allocated. And I think this also just moves it in the right direction to say, listen, we need to give you monthly, I don't know, it'll be monthly or quarterly reports on what exactly is being happened with the royalties and the refunds and all of that. So I think it's definitely needed, especially with such a big natural resource and going to generate a lot of revenue. So I think there's going to be a lot of flows coming in, probably not in the first few years. But once it starts being profitable, I think it's definitely needed that we're going to do this. And it also just allows for independent audits to happen when it comes to certain ways money is being spent, where the revenue is being allocated, and also just promotes overall fiscal discipline. We've seen that some of the best company operators when it comes to oil and gas, such as Norway, they're really big on fiscal discipline. Fiscal discipline meaning that where is the money being allocated? How much are we allocating to our sovereign wealth fund? And all of that is just needed to make sure that, okay, the money is actually being spent well, and we can see the reward that we've seen from all our work and what we've done. And so we're really benefiting and seeing the fruits of our labor.
With major offshore discoveries, what long-term fiscal and macroeconomic benefits could Namibia accept if this new framework is effectively implemented?
I think the economic growth and the economic spin-offs could really be, in a sense, it could be generational. It could really transform Namibia. And that's why in the beginning I mentioned it, Namibia is sitting at a crossroad where it could really make or break Namibia, is that if it's handled in the right, correct way, we could really see that Namibia's trajectory like continues in a sense. A pure example that one can really use is Singapore. Singapore is also a country more or less in the same state as Namibia, where unemployment's a little bit high, economic growth isn't doing the best, but then they took a decision to say, listen, a certain office or certain individual is going to have the decision to navigate the country in the right direction. And we see that Singapore is a very successful country at this moment in time. So I think that's where we currently sitting. We're sitting on bigger natural resources. We've got a good employment group of people. We're in a very youthful group of people where it can be employed and be used in different sectors. But I think also the revenues that's going to generate from the oil and gas, it's not necessary that the oil and gas sector is going to employ millions of people or thousands of people, but the revenue that we get from all of the royalties and all of that can really be beneficial in other sectors such as agriculture, tourism. And those are the ones that really can be deployed to make sure that, okay, we're actually employing more people. We bring out more people to be able to be upskilled in that sense. So I think we can use the revenue to build infrastructure, to build new industries, and to also just give freedom of where we can see more economic growth. So yes, that'll contribute largely to tax revenues, to GDP growth, but I think the spin-off effect will also be felt in other sectors if the money is deployed correctly.
How can Namibia ensure that petroleum revenues are managed sustainably and reinvested to support broader economic diversification?
It needs to be, in a sense, a policy. So Norway, in a way that they's like, okay, we got this big natural resource, but we also want to make sure that the funds that we receive from all of the oil that we're selling and all of that that's happening, we need to see that it's happening. So they introduced a fiscal discipline, a fiscal rule where a certain amount of money that is being generated from that needs to be put into the sovereign wealth fund. And they've got one of the best sovereign wealth funds. I think it's over $1 trillion, more or less. So that's really what we've seen them doing, and just making sure that this is the rules that we're going to place, this is what we're going to stick to, and we're not going to deviate from it, that because the sovereign wealth fund is there, if the oil runs out or anything does go wrong or economic black swan event like COVID happens again, we're able to not necessarily have to borrow money from external funders, or in that sense, we have to take out loans. We've got enough reserves to have been built up to ensure that, okay, we've got this. But overall, we also need to look at what exactly, how are we going to manage this? Because it's a very new industry for us in Namibia. I think that's where the president now, being under her office, she needs to have wise counseling around her to ensure that these are people that have got experience in the industry, that have gone out and said, listen, we're willing to help you understand the industry. Because at the end of the day, it's a very foreign industry to Namibia. We've had diamond mining for how many years? So we've kind of grown expertise in that, but oil and gas is a little bit of a new baby, if you can put it in that way.
What are some of the potential economic or governance risks that Namibia should guard against as it modernizes its petroleum framework?
Yeah, so there's obviously a little bit of economic and government risks that we need to look at. And what I alluded to earlier is that over-centralization of authority can be seen in a way that it's reducing transparency, but in a sense that we know it's the president, we can hold her accountable. All the people can almost in a sense say, listen, why are you not reporting? Why are you doing that? So it's more central, but it's also in a good way, a good way. So it's a bit of a double-edged sword. But we also need to look at that. Is there enough capacity in the president's office to ensure that this happens? That is there limited capacity, or does she have the time to handle all this decision making? But also we need to look at if there's regulatory bottlenecks, if new structures aren't being done, implemented fast enough, and also fiscal mismanagement that necessarily needs to be done in a sense in that way, then we also need to look at that.
Just the last question, what would you recommend to ensure this reform delivers both investor confidence and real developmental benefits for ordinary Namibians?
So I think for this time, I think a lot of people are uncertain of where exactly are we sitting with certain policies. So I think the government needs to be more transparent of this is where exactly we're sitting in a clear timeline. This is what the policies we're working on. And also when it comes to a lot of people are uncertain of how actually they're going to benefit when it comes to a job point. But it's almost in a sense of make a list of all the skills and all the technical specialties that's needed for this industry to ensure, listen, this is what we need to, if you want to align yourself with me, if you're in the industry, this is what you require. And then also just when going forward, when the oil majors, if they have to take off and have to say, listen, we're making profits now, I think government should be publishing quarterly reports on royalties and the revenue that they're generating from the petroleum areas to ensure once again that word that we keep a honing on is that accountability. It needs to be, we need to make sure that the accountability is really there and operating in that sense in a good way. But we also need to look at, once again, like I mentioned before, the sovereign wealth fund. We need to look at how is that going to be managed. We need transparency. We need governance rules when it comes to directing it in the right direction. And once again, I think the two words that we can really just hone down on is that transparency and accountability. Government, citizens, and investors just want to have transparency of what is actually happening, what is happening in the background, so that they can just have an understanding of what's at play, what's happening, because there's a lot of uncertainty at this moment in time in this space, and people just want to know, especially for investors, they want to know exactly what's at play, what's happening. And for the oil majors, it's the policies. Policies is the big thing. If policies aren't sorted out in time, they're basically just going to delay the final investment decision until they've got concise insights of what's going to play out and how this industry is going to be navigated from Namibia.
Almundro, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.